I'd like to extend a welcome as well. Just as Tom said, thank you for being among us. If you're visiting, thank you. We don't take it lightly. We know it's not an easy thing to come among a people that you don't know. And so we appreciate. We know there's a lot of other things that you could be doing with your Sunday morning, right? But why? So why are we here? There's a lot of other ways to spend your time. Even if you're not visiting, why are you here? I mean, it's a strange mercy of God that he calls us together here to be reminded of God's love, to have our hearts directed toward worship, to be built up and encouraged in faith. That's a strange mercy of God. And so I don't take that lightly. We don't want to make it mundane. And so thank you. Whether you are visiting or whether you've been among us for a long time, we're a church family. Let's be reminded that we are compelled by God's love, by God's grace, to give our whole lives to him because of who he is. And we're not doing that perfectly. We're stumbling along the way, but we're doing it together. And we're doing it in light of the love and the grace of God who comes alongside of us in that process and changes us. That's our hope. That's our faith. And so welcome. Welcome. Go ahead and open your Bibles to Psalm 84. If you have a Bible, or you can find it in a device. There are Bibles out in the foyer if you'd like to borrow one. If you don't own a Bible, you can take the one in the foyer. Please take the one in the foyer. We're going to spend the month of January here in Psalm 84, lingering in this text, in this prayer, in this song. It's a song of faith. It's a song of devotion. We're going to linger here and let God's word model for us. How do we pray? How do we sing? How do we respond with our whole life to this God who loves us? How do we walk with him? So I'd encourage you, if you're a part of this body, to start reading Psalm 84. Start praying through Psalm 84 this month. We're going to use it as a template for our week of prayer in a few weeks. Go to Psalm 84 and read it daily and pray through this song so that we're on the same page together. I love the Psalms. Do you read the Psalms? They instruct our hearts. They're soaring and faithful and yet raw and personal and real. The songs instruct us and teach us. They're raw and yet God-centered in their cries. And so I encourage you to read the Psalms and read this one, Psalm 84, this month. It's filled with the language of the heart. That's where we're going to be. And it challenges me, it challenges us to find our heart's home in God. One writer said that this psalm rebukes meager spirituality. That's me. That's where I am, meager spirit. So if you're there, if you're at a place of meager spirituality, just get ready to be rebuked, as it were. But with a light hand, God wants to draw us out and draw us to himself. So please stand. We stand as we read God's word. We stand to honor the Lord who spoke this word. We stand as a recognition that he has authority through his word, that he has preserved this word for his church. And we stand only on his word. And so this is Psalm 84. We're going to focus on four verses at the beginning, but I'd like to read the whole thing, and we'll read the whole thing this month. So Psalm 84, beginning with verse 1. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul longs, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage, as they pass through the valley of Baca, which is bitterness. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. So hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Amen. This is God's word. Thank you, God. And William, Brother William, will you pray for me before I preach? Just pray for the word of God to find its home. Yeah, thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Amen. So where are you from? My background doesn't seem like that complicated to me, but I can't answer that question without speaking a paragraph. You know, you feel like you should say, where are you from? Oh, it's just a couple words, but I answer that in sentences. Well, I was born in Pennsylvania, and I spent my childhood there, but I moved to Virginia before I was able to drive or anything, and no one really lives in Pennsylvania anymore, so I feel like I grew up in Pennsylvania, or excuse me, in Virginia, but then I'd only lived in that one place where my mother's home was for 4 years, and I came to Charlottesville, and we've been here for 15 years, but there were 7 years in the middle, and so where are you from? It gets complicated for me. Maybe you moved every few years growing up and you have a hard time answering that question as well. Maybe your parents were in different states or different countries and you don't know how to answer that question. Where are you from? But even if you can say, where am I from? I'm from Richmond my whole life. I'm from Charlottesville. Maybe even if you can answer that easily, there's another layer that's difficult, but even more important for us to be able to answer. A layer of the question, and that's this, where is your home? It's not the same question. Where is home? How do you answer that question? I mean, maybe we can reply with a well-worn cliche, home is where the heart is, right? Maybe that came to your mind immediately, but what does that even mean? And is it true? What does it mean for us to be home? When do you feel like you are most at home? What makes something home? I mean, is home for you a physical space, an address, a point on the map, a house or a neighborhood? Because the longer some of us are in any one place, it begins to feel like home. The more this tends to be true. We spend decades in one spot. That begins to feel like home. The scripture says that the sparrow's home is a place to raise her young. Our home is a place of memories and of childhood. So it makes sense. Home gets to be lumped with a space, a house, a place of memories, a place of nostalgia, a landing place, a place of settled familiarity, a place of safety. But what about when that living space, that place of home, gets washed out, burned out, foreclosed? What about when you have to sell? Where's your home then? You have to pay for the assisted living. Where's your home then? Can you get a new home, even if you have a new place to lay your head? Maybe for some of us, home is not a location, but home is when we feel like we're doing what we were made to do, and that's home. Whether it's raising a family or coaching or writing music or seeing patients or traveling overseas, I'm doing what I was made to do. It's home for you is a calling. Home travels with us wherever we go because home is a calling. Is that home for you? Right, but then what happens when that is ripped out from underneath of you? When the kids leave the house and, or when you're fired or when you retire or when you're injured and unable to do what you feel like God made you to do. Where's home then? Or can you still be home? Are you destined for some type of emotional homelessness at that point? Where's home? Can home be a relationship? I know I've said to Kelly a number of times that any place can be home as long as she's there. Right? That's where I feel at home, in her arms. You may feel the same way about somebody, and I hope you do. I hope you do. But what happens when the relationship ends? Right? As unthinkable as it is currently to me, I know that there will be a time when either Kelly or I will feel the sting of loss, the curse of death, and one of us will feel like half of a person. One of us will feel like we are walking in a void. And I know many of you have been there, and you are there. Can you have a home? Can you ever be home again? So what is home? Where is home? Is home a place? Is home a calling? Is home a relationship? Right? Each one of these options, it rings with a type of truth. And rightly so, because each one is a gift. But at the same time, each one is an incomplete replica of the true home. Each one is an incomplete replica because at their best, they point to what is true. At their best, they point to what is true and they make us grateful for what is true. But at their worst, they fall down around us and trap us inside and leave us empty and hurting. They are incomplete replicas and therefore they are ultimately painful and ultimately unsatisfying, even in the best situation. Are we ready to admit that? Are you ready to admit that that which you hold most dear in this world is incomplete? That it cannot satisfy you? That it will ultimately leave you filled with pain? It's a great gift, but it will fail me. We can't hear the next point until we're ready to concede, to admit that one to our hearts, to our souls. This is a starting point for faith. So what is our true home? What is our lasting home? Psalm 84 will show us and has shown us that it's the presence of the Lord, the presence of God. The homes of this life aren't meant to stand on their own, but to direct us, to point us, to guide us to a more enduring, more satisfying reality, God's presence. The living God with us. This is the core idea of the first four verses of Psalm 84. And so what is presence? What is God's presence? This reality is described here. It goes beyond the truth that God is all places and he sees all things. We're speaking of something beyond and further than that truth of God's omnipresence. The lyrics of the song describe where God dwelled among Israel in a special, intimate way, altars, courts, God's house. The writer was speaking of the temple of Israel. He had the temple in mind, the physical place where he encountered God. And so how do we read this? Right? This is not the temple. This place is not the temple. And so how do we read this? How does Psalm 84 apply to God's people today? Where is God's presence today? We know that now through faith in Jesus, what he's done, his life, his death, his resurrection, the sending of his Spirit, We know now that God's dwelling place is with people wherever they are. As they call out in faith, as we call out and cry out to God in faith, God's dwelling place is with us. He doesn't call us to a point on the map. He encounters us wherever we are. Where we are, he meets with us. Where we are in faith, calling out to him, he meets with us. We become his dwelling place. The church is his dwelling place. And we individually, God sets up his dwelling place in us. That's a truth of Genesis to Revelation, that God desires to meet with us. And he's setting up the dwelling place in the hearts of men and women. That's a beautiful thing. And so when I speak of encountering God's presence, I am speaking of the ability to say, in response to an encounter with God, I know the God who is with me. I have encountered the living God. When we speak of God's presence, we're able to say, I have encountered the living God. He isn't distant. He's near. He's beyond comprehending, yes, but he is knowable. I know him. Christ lives in me. I am made new. I'm reborn by his Spirit. I am being transformed by his presence. Christ lives in me. I am being transformed by being with him. This is where we are home, in the Lord's presence. Have you encountered God in a way that you could say, I have met the Lord and I've been in his presence and I can't really describe it, but I know that he is with me. Have you encountered God? It's hard to put words on. There's no one size fits all description of encountering the presence of God. Your experience doesn't have to be the same as someone else's. I've been met by delight. I have been held by a certainty of love. I have been flooded with warmth that I couldn't describe. I have been awakened with a shuddering in my soul, like a physical shuddering. By clarity at times, and it feels like heights of clarity, but other times just mystery and a sense of presence and of weight. Sometimes it's loud, and sometimes very quiet and still. Where? On a hike, in the Word, in prayer, in corporate prayer, in any number of places. There's no formula, there's no magic, there's no one size fits all. But God would say, I encounter my people. I want to be with my people so that you know that you know that you know that I am He, that I am alive, that I am real. The presence of God, this is our true home. And so in whatever form, our hearts long to be in this home. This is where we long to be, in this true home, in God's presence, this place of transformation. This is the place where we were created to be, in his presence. We're fully known and fully loved in his presence. And so Psalm 84, as we read it, this is one person's testimony emerging from the conviction of his soul. I have found my heart's home. I have found my heart's home, and it's in God's presence. And I long to be there forever and ever. I long to be there. And so I believe that until we learn to find our satisfaction in God's presence, we will be searching and searching and searching until we do. Scripture writes, my soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Do you know the one for whom you're yearning? Because we're all yearning. We're all searching. Do you know the one for whom you are yearning? The presence of the Lord is our true home. It's where we're meant to be. Like a whale is meant for the ocean, right? Like a camel is meant to traverse the deserts. We are meant, we are designed, we are created for the presence of God. It's our home. So the question is why? Right, as we read Psalm 84, why is the Lord's presence our true home? What makes his presence our home? As I studied these verses, I saw two truths emerge. There's more to being home in the Lord than these two things, but this is what I saw coming out of Psalm 84. It's through this psalm we learn that his presence is our greatest treasure. His presence is our greatest treasure. Our homes and what we treasure, those things are bound up together. Even as our hearts long for their true homes, they are bound by nature to chase what they treasure. Jesus says this. He says it plainly, right? He says, you're a treasure seeker. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm a treasure seeker. That's what my heart longs for, my treasure, what I value. That's true of each of us. And we know this. Don't we? Our lives prove this. We chase after the things we value the most. Our lives prove this. The heart is a biblical word for the seat of emotions, the seat of affections, the center of activity for human life. That's that which directs. And our hearts chase what they most value. How many times have you gotten off course chasing something other than the Lord? How many times have you followed the heart as it's chasing something else that's not what God has called us to chase? I know I've gotten off course. Some fool's gold, some false home. Our hearts chase what we treasure, but at the same time, they yearn, they long to be in their true home. And this is a beautiful truth. In knowing Christ, our yearning for home and our chasing what we treasure, they come together. They come together in knowing Christ. We are freed. We are gifted to chase our true home. We are gifted by God to chase what we treasure and that be the same as our home. In fact, we're encouraged to do it. Jesus tells us, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. What marks the kingdom? The presence of the King. Jesus is saying, go after me, chase after me, seek me first above all things. He's encouraging us to chase him. He's encouraging us to chase what we value. We're to be willing with joy to give all that we have to seek first the kingdom. This is a truth that's found in Psalm 84 also. That our hearts chasing what they value and our hearts longing to be home, coming together. It comes together in Psalm 84. How does it begin? It begins with the line that we sang. Thank you, Trish. How lovely is your dwelling place. Lord Almighty, how lovely is your dwelling place. This is an expression of gratitude and it's an expression of praise, but I think we miss it. We miss its richness because of that word lovely. I maybe not for you, but the word lovely has lost some of its punch. I call a flower arrangement lovely, right? I was reading a book to my daughter this week, and it was talking about dresses for princesses, and one was cute, and one was lovely, and those were synonymous, and that was the use of the word lovely. I don't think we'll read that book again, but that... The word lovely, in the Hebrew language, this word lovely most often means beloved. 10 other times in the Old Testament, it's God speaking to his people. You are beloved. You are my beloved. I love you. These are the ones I love. And so our author here, he says, how lovely is your dwelling place? It's another way of saying, I love being in your presence. I love being in your presence, Lord. The place of your presence, the place where you dwell, it's good. It's pleasant. You are my greatest treasure. That's what he's saying. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Verse 4. They are ever praising you. Why? Because, why do we praise God? Because our treasure and our home are coming together in God's presence. We are freed to give joyful praise. We are most alive when we're giving joyful praise to God. People who live in light of God's presence love to be there. love to be there. They have tasted what David writes in Psalm 16. Tasted this, that you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. That's testimony. God, I love being in your presence. I love walking with you. And the Lord would remind us this morning, he's saying to us, I am your greatest treasure. I am your greatest treasure. In me, the Lord says, your soul will find a home which stands beneath and beyond all other things. Our physical space, it finds its proper place as a gift, as a resource. Our callings, they find a deeper meaning and a purpose. Our relationships can flourish because we don't demand that the one we love become our everything. Because they can't handle that, and we can't handle that for someone else. We're lousy gods. We're lousy gods to our spouses, so they can't be everything to us. But when God is our home, when God is our treasure, that our relationships are free to flourish. God says to us, I am your greatest treasure. And all your other homes will find their meaning and their value and their life in that. I am your greatest treasure. And therefore, my presence is your true home. That's the first thing from Psalm 84. And then there's something else. There's something else. In this psalm, we also see that his presence is our ultimate destination. There's a Chinese proverb. It says, the journey is the reward. And there's truth to that. There's truth to that in our faith and in our discipleship and as we go through hard things. But I want to push back and say, you know what? This journey, it has an end. The journey has an end. These treacherous passes, these valleys, the mountains, even the beautiful moments, this journey is not a circular wandering. It's headed to a destination. This journey has an end. I want to come to the end of this journey. I do. I want to land, to stop, to rest. Home is a destination. It's not a step on the journey. When we think of home, that's a destination. If you've been traveling for weeks, where do you want to be? Where do you sleep the best at night? It's at home, is it not? Where do people, when they get sick, where do they want to be? If you lay dying, where do you want to be? Even if you can't be, where do you want to be? You want to be home. We want to be at a place of rest, one that is safe and joyful. And our ultimate hope, our ultimate home, our final home, is our greatest longing. This ultimate destination is God's presence. It's God's presence. There is no place beyond God's presence. There is no greater reward. God spoke to Abram and said, Abram, I am your very great reward. There is no greater reward. There is no journey beyond the Lord. Don't think of mansions of glory. Think of a person of glory. He is our ultimate destination, the presence of the Lord. And so Psalm 84 shows us that this destination, this home that we're longing for, this is personal. The writer, even as he says, Lord Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, judge, the one who brings life, the one who brings death, Lord Almighty, even he says, my King and my God. My King and my God. God is with us personally. God is with you personally. He knows your name. He knows you personally. This destination is personal. And it's also one that endures, one that cannot be ripped away from us, one that cannot be pulled out from underneath us like everything else in this world. This God who is initiated with us, the God who invites us into a relationship with him, he is one who lasts, and his relationship is one that lasts. He is our ultimate destination. He is the living God, not just to know and walk with now, but to know and walk with forever. Our true home is our ultimate destination. And so the resurrected Jesus, he appears to John and he says, I am the first and I am the last. I am the living one. I was dead and now behold, I am alive forever and ever. This is the one who invites you into relationship. This is the one who says, my presence is pleasant and good and lovely, and you are invited into it. In his presence, we have eternal rest. We will not hunger. We will not thirst. We will not mourn. We will not sin. We will not die. In his presence, we will serve. We will worship. We will flourish. In his presence, we will live to the fullest, a life that we are only beginning to taste now. Right? They're just the forefruit, the first fruits, the foretaste of what is coming. We will live that to the fullest in his presence. That is our ultimate destination. And so where is your home? Where is your home? There's a testimony before us this morning. Do you have ears to hear? There's a testimony in the psalm. Our home is in God's presence in relationship with the living God who draws near, who encounters us. There's testimony all around this church of people who say, I know that even in my sin, even in my weakness, I am fully known and fully loved in God's presence. And the invitation, if we dare to believe it, is come home. Come home. That's for all of us. Come home. Maybe you've tasted of this presence and yet you've been out wandering. Come home to the presence of the Lord. Maybe you've never encountered God in this way. Hear God's words to you this morning. Come home. This is your true home. Come home and be with me. Even if you feel like you're soaring and you're running after him, we need to be reminded daily, come home every day, come home into his presence. Come home. Do you hear the Spirit of God saying that to your heart this morning? Come home. Faith believes and pursues and longs for hope now, in hope. And to whatever extent that we experience his presence in this life, to whatever extent we experience the presence of God now in love, in power, in forgiveness, in glory, in just being undone, to whatever extent we experience that now, all of our present experiences are just a shadow, are just a sign of a fuller expression of God's presence which is to come. That's good news. Just a taste and a shadow of what's to come. There is a time coming when our faith will be sight. That time is coming. And so come home. Amen. Come home. Father, I pray for us because our hearts resist. Our hearts chase after what we value. We've set up values in so many other areas. We've overvalued relationships. We've overvalued money. We've overvalued our own sense of worth. We've overvalued our work. Lord, we chased after other things. And you call to us in mercy. You say, come home. And so, Lord, give us that grace, we ask. No matter where we are on this current journey, Lord, teach us to come home and to long for your presence and to encounter you and to be transformed. Lord, teach us and give us that grace. We ask boldly at the throne of grace. Amen.